Wow, there it is. Welcome, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Dr. Tim Slucker here with Dr. Johnny Lupinacci and Jacob Chairman of the Board. Welcome, my fellow friends. And Jacob, before we get into it, though, Johnny Lupinacci appears to be not where he typically is when recording these shows. And did you give him permission to go somewhere, Jacob?
I just filed the paperwork this morning and backdated it, so it should be fine. Johnny, you're good to go. I hope you're having a good time out there and wherever you are.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm off-site from... No. The water would be warmer in Hawaii, but I'm up in on the Oregon coast and so the Pacific Ocean on the beach there. And, I walked off beach a little bit to catch some internet and join the show at the regularly scheduled time. But, yeah, Jacob filed all my paperwork, so it's approved time off.
Okay, this is approved personal leave for Johnny Lupinacci. But you know what I like, Johnny, is that guess what? There is no such thing as personal leave when you're busting pencils.
Because we're always breaking pencils.
Man, we're busting, right. You know, whether it's from the Oregon coast or from a pull-off driveway somewhere in the middle of the woods, or you know what, on the Ohio Interstate 70 at a rest stop.
Yep.
Hey, it never stops. We are always on the go, on the call. That's the dedication. We know Busted Pencils listeners, downloaders, you know, people out there who, are on the BustedPencils.com website buying t-shirts and stuff like that. You know that Tim and Johnny and Jacob, there is no such thing as a vacation. If there's a pencil,
no breaks for the pencil busters.
That's right. If there's a pencil out there that needs to be busted, we will find it. And oh my God, class is in session and you know, time to teach. And you guys, it's been a while since we've made some comments about the Department of Education, Linda McMahon, you know, the the number one advocate of the A1 in classrooms, as she pointed out earlier this year. She's a big fan of A1. And in fact, she's such a big fan of A1, the Department of Education, Johnny, and we've also talked about this from classes in session, issued a Dear Colleague letter.
Another one,
and just a reminder for everybody listening, if you missed the class in session, a Dear Colleague letter is a letter that comes from the executive branch of our government here, and it's used to say, here's what's happening, and here's what we expect. We covered the big Dear Colleague letter when it came to the civil rights and the enforcement or non-enforcement of the new civil rights legislation that's out there. But July 22nd.
I would call it, Tim, more the anti-civil rights legislation.
Right.
It addresses civil rights, but, rolls them back quite a bit.
Yeah, it's kind of like, guess what?
But this A1 Dear Colleague letter, just for pencil busters out there listening, we're not talking about the steak sauce. We're poking fun at Linda McMahon, but AI. So one came out, Tim.
Yeah.
You sent it over to Jacob and I took a look at it and I was like, oh, here we go. So let's dive into it because I was sort of like, hey, this is going to be fun to talk about because one minute there's going to be no Department of Ed. And, and the next minute they're saying, hey, if you want grants and money, do this. And they send your colleague letter out with all kinds of, recipes to use A1 with.
A1. So, I love that. Recipes.
They must be listening to you, Tim, because, they're listening to the show. They say, that Johnny guy's full of a lot of hot air and he hates the A1 sauce. And Tim's a big fan of A1 on everything.
Everything.
So we're going to go Tim on this one. And they sent out a Dear Colleague letter. I was waiting for it at the bottom to say signed by, Tim Slecker. But no, it was signed by Linda McMahon. But enough jokes from me. Tim, tell our listeners a little bit about what this Dear Colleague letter, is about. And maybe we'll drop the A1 joke for a little bit.
Yeah, we'll drop the A1. We're talking about AI. And yes, of course, I am the high cardinal of the Church of AI, and so I'm going to take this opportunity to preach, or actually maybe not. But Johnny, you point out, though, too, okay, we're going to get to the reality of going, okay, but what if there is no Department of Education? We're going to hold that thought for now. We're going to first just look at, okay, here's a Dear Colleague letter, and, you know, is it doing something nefarious, rolling back civil rights, for example, and stuff like this? And I got to tell you, I'm looking at this one and going, all right, I'm okay with, and I'll just read part of this. It says, Dear Colleague, and this is, you know, just the subject line, guidance on the use of federal grant funds to improve education outcomes using artificial intelligence, not A1, Linda McMahon, artificial intelligence. And this is a Dear Colleague letter that says, hey, teachers, school districts out there, we got money for you if you are willing to advance AI in classrooms across America. And here there are three of them. One, AI-based high-quality instructional materials. Number two, AI-enhanced high-impact tutoring. Number three, AI for college and career pathway exploration, advising and navigation. Those are the three main uses that if you are out there right now, school districts, and you are number one, using AI-based high-quality instructional materials, hey, tell the federal government, Linda McMahon, we need a little extra A1 sauce, or we need a little spice to go with that sauce, which would be the AI. AI-enhanced high-impact tutoring. School districts, are you employing AI to create tutoring opportunities to bring students up? We'll even give in to all those kids from the, you know, the pandemic suffering from learning loss. Are you using high-impact tutoring to do away with all that learning loss? And number three, are you showing in high schools particularly how you can use AI to help figure out pathways to college and career, and then also navigating and advising? And Johnny, I don't have any problem with the fact that the federal government is willing to support with money schools that are willing to look at or doing any of these three, or want to continue to do it even more than what some school districts are. We talked to, you know, a great school district in the CESA 4 area and a superintendent. They're fully, and Jacob, you got to just give me a quick reminder of who we were talking to on that show. I've drawn a blank, but there we were. And, you know, I could see them just saying, like, this is great. We need the money. So, Johnny, that's my first reaction on the AI, or A1, as Linda McMahon says, and the money. What do you think?
Well, Tim, I think it's, you know, the kind of Dear Colleague letter that, you know, I wouldn't mind getting. And I as I read it, you know, I opened it with trepidation. But as I read it, I was like, hey, this sounds pretty much par for the course in terms of trends in education research right now. A lot of the foundations and a lot of the non-federal government agencies that fund research have sent a similar statement like this out, you know, in the past year, saying, hey, we want to know more about the use of AI. And so, you know, the federal government, the, you know, Department of Education, sending out one of those, you know, recently we understood, as you said, nefarious or notorious Dear Colleague letters. You know, this one just says, hey, use AI for these three primary areas. You've shared them with the listener, and there's some federal money for you to do that. But Tim, this is one of those strange things when you read it and you say, but hold on. But I thought we weren't funding things from the federal government. I thought we were closing down this department. And you know, Tim, it reminds me of, like, there's a lot of things about this administration I could pick on, and in fact have good reason to, especially the rollback of civil rights and the kinds of funding that support our students with special needs, et cetera, et cetera. You know, the exacerbated effort to privatize education, even, you know, for that, and that's not attacking private schools. It's really looking at, like, really, you know, turn education into a marketplace. You know, I see all that happening. But this, Tim, is pretty you know, non-nefarious. It's pretty much like, hey, yeah, we do need to actually put to use these tools, and they're going to cost our schools money to do so. So this is exactly the kind of thing a Department of Education would historically have done under any administration. The only difference is, Tim, I'm like, who do we believe?
Like, I know.
One minute there's no money, now there's money. And, you know, and I don't, while I'm celebrating, like, hey, this is good news, I'm also, you know, want to highlight the fact, because remember, words highlight some things and hide other things. It also, you know, shows us the level of depth of, I'm just going to say it, of hate towards efforts to support diverse students, diverse teachers, you know, efforts to, you know, work on those civil rights issues in schools, to, you know, fund our students who need the most funding, right? The most support in our communities are students with special needs. You know, if there is money and we have it and we're saying like, hey, implement AI.
Yeah, I mean,
but it's telling us also like, hey, we don't have the money. And so we're going to cut things and we have to cut this civil liberties thing. It's saying, it's really exposing the political agenda of this administration. And it looks like they're not closing down the department. they're just using it for the stuff they want.
Well,
and this is.
Yeah, I mean, Tim, it does seem that there's a certain angle to this. And Johnny, I totally agree with you, where it seems like a lot of this is not bad news, Tim. Mm-hmm. But I am left wondering a little bit, okay, but what's the other angle here? I mean, why does this administration like what is happening?
Well, I think we look at that and first of all, Jacob, thanks for pointing out. Yes, we were talking to Mike Bigley, the Whitehall School District up in rural Wisconsin, and them deploying AI, and Brittany Walsh, who put us in touch with that great school district. I could see them really benefiting from this program because these are the things they're already doing, making really good, responsible, and effective use of AI. But here we are sitting with this and saying, okay, why this? And why do away with, let's just go with special education. Like, wait a minute, AI, but not special education? Who's making these decisions? I think in one way you could say, well, anytime the federal Department of Education is involved, depending on the administration, you're going to get a flavor of that Department of Education, the Department of Justice, right? They're going to staff those people, and there's going to be an ideology. Here's what we favor. And so in that sense, there's nothing, I guess, frightening by the fact that, well, this is what they believe in. But it's really coming down to the point of saying, wait, there's a lot of money available for AI, and Johnny asked the question, why isn't it available for students with special needs? Why isn't it available for diversity programs creating more meaningful education opportunities to populations of students that have been, you know, discriminated against historically? You know, why isn't there money for that? There's money here. What's the agenda here? I mean, I think this is an agenda that also kind of says, well, if you take away all of the things that we just talked about, diversity, special education, funding like that, and then you say this is coming forward, while I agree with this funding for AI and this use of AI, absent a comprehensive, fully sound education department doing all of the things that matter, this starts to sound like this potentially is saying this is going to be very focused on developing the workforce. And if you're not part of the workforce, you're not part of what this education department cares about. And in fact, this maybe even could be seen to say diversity, special programs, things that really deal with all of the situations that public schools are going to deal with. No, actually, this Department of Education is very functional specific in that our job is to deal with providing the tools, because the tools that industry that have paid our bills to get in office, these are the tools these industries want, and therefore we're prioritizing them because that's what really matters. And this, to me, the class in session learning here is that, again, I'm going to support the Dear Colleague Letter's content, but realize that if we don't have also a same kind of kick to say, but what should we be doing? Because if this just becomes truly job training as dictated by industry, that's a real problem that doesn't really deal with, as we've talked about for years, public education as the foundation of democracy. Johnny, that's kind of my summary.
Yeah, Tim, I'm right there with you. And I want to emphasize positive behavior reinforcement here. You know, my second favorite PBR, my first favorite, you know, it comes in a can, but my second favorite positive behavior reinforcement, which is saying, hey, we want to support more Dear Colleague Letters like this one. The last one's not so much, but this one, we want to compliment and say, yeah, more of these things that are truly helpful, but also read it with a bit of caution on two fronts. The first, I thought you were closing. Now you're not closing, right? So let's see. The consistency will help show the record. So let's be consistent. The behavior stuff. And then the next thing I'm going to say is read cautiously is what you alluded to, Tim. I was waiting for the attachment that said, and purchase your AI curriculum programs from these approved, you know, companies who helped support this administration getting into office and continue support, because there's usually some kind of economic gain, you know, the education industry attached to this, or at least, Tim, we've been around long enough to see that related to, you know, tools like high stakes testing. Well, you know, you could get federal money, but you better be administering these tests that cost you a lot of money too. So we'll see if there's also a list. But as of right now, I'm like, great, we do need to learn more about AI. We should be, you know, teaching, using it responsibly. And let's see what happens here.
Yeah, I mean, and actually too, for a dive into using AI in a public school setting to further democracy, to create more openings and more opportunities, really refer people back to that podcast we did with Mike Bigley from the Whitehall School District. I mean, he just laid it out as, you know, talking about incredibly wise use of AI and how in a rural setting, their use of AI is allowing them to take down the barriers of typically that when you're rural, the access to things that you typically don't get, and how they're using AI to really take away lots of barriers and create opportunities for that. But Johnny, yeah, you know, you made me think here as we're about to close, you know, is this going to turn into another science of reading movement where, yeah, not only are you pushing an ideology and a philosophy, but most importantly, we're pushing approved vendors. I think what's happening right now, though, with AI is that I don't see that there's going to be approved vendors as much in that sense. Because if you kind of look at the what they call the frontier models of ChatGPT, Claude, Gemini, I guess even Grok now, there's really not going to be one product over the other. Potentially, though, I did hear this kind of aside. Maybe before the little spat between the 2 second graders, Elon Musk and Trump, maybe Grok might have been one of those preferred AI providers. Not now, though, and especially since Grok has been expressing some affection towards Hitler tendencies later, that might be a problem. So I don't see an approved mandate you buy this AI. But Johnny, keep this in mind, listener, appreciate you being there every time. Know that, yes, we can agree sometimes, we can disagree, but maybe the bigger question is there going to be a Department of Education to even give out these funds once the school district puts in all the effort to write the grant? And now it's time for your moment of zen. There are people everywhere who want to see a different kind of world, who want to be at one with their fellow men and women, who think that people in other countries are human beings as we are, and that if somebody is suffering anywhere in the world, we have a responsibility to help them.
Dear colleagues, thank you for listening to today's class in session. And if you want more Busted Pencils podcast, well, just head on over to Apple, Spotify, or you can always find us at civicmedia.com or on our website, bustedpencils.com. And remember, you can always find great Busted Pencils content every Monday for homeroom, Wednesdays for class and session, and Fridays for producer Jacob's choice. And of course, Pencil Busters, you can always tune in on Saturday and listen to the Busted Pencils weekend broadcasts at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media networks for 1 hour of your favorite blue collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busted pencils.